back to him. Let's pray, and we're going to jump into the second chapter of the book of Leviticus. Lord, we pray for a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit. There are those of us here, Lord, that need to rededicate our lives to you. There are those of us here, Lord, that have been following you fervently and need to be refreshed. There are those of us here, Lord, that you have a special word for this evening. And we pray that they would receive it, that those changes would be made, refreshings would be made, that we'd be overflowing, then that we would receive these things here in the book of Leviticus. As we dig, Lord, and we pull out these diamonds, these truths, we pray that you would write them on the tablets of our heart. And so we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week we were going over the burnt offerings, 100% burned on the big barbecue, the altar, given to God. Nothing could be touched. This week we're going to be talking about grain offerings. This is a completely different offering. But I want you to know right off the bat that if it is a blood offering, if it's from an animal, those are usually for sins. If there's no blood, it is not for sins. So what is a grain offering for? This is going to be an offering of thanksgiving. This is just you wanting to bless God. You just want to praise him. And so there are times in our prayer life where we need to be praying for forgiveness. We are 100% righteous before God, 100%. Our sins are paid for past, present, and future. But there still needs to be a time of confession before God. Remember, there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. But there's another type of prayer. There's prayers of confessions, but then there's also just prayers of praise. You know, when you are getting out of your vehicle at night and you're walking inside and you see the heavens and you see how beautiful it is and you just see the handiwork of God, it just comes out of you. Wow, Lord, wow, you're amazing. Just this gift of praise. But remember, in the Old Testament, they do not have this relationship with God, this intimate relationship with God. They have no access. So the way that they would be able to give praise, now, of course, let me go off on a side note and say that if they're praying to the Lord and praising him for the stars, he hears their prayers. But remember, they don't have the same fellowship that we have through Jesus Christ. So what could they do? What could they do to give God glory and to praise him? We would see it in these grain offerings. Let's see verses 1 through 3. When anyone offers a grain offering to the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil on it, and put frankincense on it. And he shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, one of whom shall take from it his handful of fine flour with oil with all the frankincense. And the priest shall burn it as a memorial on the altar, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Verse 3. The rest of the grain offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is the most holy of the offerings to the Lord made by fire. So first and foremost, let's look at Christ, our Lord Jesus, through every offering. Now, your Bible radar should have been perked the second we talked about frankincense. We remember that is one of the three gifts that was given to the Lord Jesus at his birth or when the wise men came from the east: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And here we are, centuries before, when bringing this freewill offering to God, we see the frankincense. Now, frankincense is usually symbolic of prayer, a life of prayer. And this offering has the frankincense poured over it. And the Lord was covered in prayer. We are in the book of Luke right now, aren't we? And we're seeing Jesus taking time aside, praying all night before he chose the disciples. Oil. Oil always speaks of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit. But then more importantly, I want to highlight this, because this is something maybe you haven't heard of before. The offering, this freewill offering, is to be a fine flour. That doesn't mean anything to us, right? I mean, we go down to Publix and you go pick your flour. All right, somebody who bakes, not me. Somebody who bakes goes down to the bakery aisle and they just, whole wheat, gluten-free, and they're just going through the different flowers and they pick one and then they go home. But that's not the case here at this time. It has to be milled. It has to be brought in, the wheat. And the harvest is one big harvest. They bring that wheat in, they thresh it, they get the whole grains, then they're grinding it all, and everything's there in one big batch. And then it has to be sifted. It's sifted for the fine flour. No impurities. No garbage in it at all. No stalks, no wheat, no full grains, nothing that didn't make it through the mill. Only the finest flour makes it to be sifted. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, what does this have to do with Jesus? We just went through on Sunday morning the 40 days in the desert when Jesus was sifted by Satan and he was found perfect. Well, we see our Lord, he is our sacrifice, he is our glory, he is all things, the captain of our salvation, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. All the different titles of our Lord. And he is perfect. He's covered in prayer. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. He has been sifted. He has been found perfect without error. And he's presented to God. Here, this meal offering is presented to God. It's brought to the priests. They pinch a bunch of it off. They throw that on the altar. That gets burnt. And then the rest they take back. And, you know, I'm studying and I'm reading through the commentators. There's nothing secret about Bible teaching. I spend time with the Lord. I read the text. If I feel the Holy Spirit leading me in a certain way, I will take those notes out. If I feel it's in conjunction with something else, I'll write those down. Then I sift through the commentaries. I'll go through the commentaries and I'll see what aligns with what I believe the Lord is sharing for that evening. I will tell you this, the hardest part about Bible study is cutting out what the Lord's not sharing that evening. I know there's a lot of Bible teachers here. I had this analogy at my house the other day. We were talking about Bible studies. We're going down a rabbit hole. I hope you guys are ready. And we were talking about, well, how could you prep these messages? And I say, well, when you're a chef, you go into your kitchen, you pick the key ingredients for that meal. But a lot of Bible teachers go into the pantry. They pull everything out that tastes good, and they throw it all in front of the stove, and then they try and make their meal out of all this, and it doesn't come out. It's like, the Lord has a message. You need to just spend some time with the Lord, get that message, and sift out. And then what do we see with, at least what did the Food Network channels tell me? You know, the best dishes have the fewest ingredients. They just focus on the purity of those ingredients, and then they'll talk about those ingredients. So you can take that. That's a little side note on Bible study. I bring that up because as I was going through the commentary, I was reading through John Corson's commentary on Leviticus, and this text just jumped out of the page at me. He said the meal offering was to be roasted with fire. So if you want to be a servant of God, to be used by God, you can be sure you will go through fire. Think it not strange, Peter warned, concerning the fiery trials which beset you. 1 Peter chapter 4. I was just like, man, but that's not fun. Here the offering is put on the fire. The burnt offerings are put on the fire. Our Lord Jesus went through the fire. The disciples went through the fire. The millennia of Christians since Jesus' resurrection have gone through the fire. And we count it strange that we have to go through the fire before we enter into the presence of God, into the temple. Because remember, we went through the book of Exodus, the tabernacle. When you go into the gates of the tabernacle, the first thing there is the altar. That's the very first thing where the offerings are made. Then the laver where you wash your hand. The priests wash their hands and their face, their feet, and then they can go in to have fellowship and to eat the bread. Here we see that these offerings are given to God, and every part of the offering is showing us that access to the Lord is through the Lord. There is one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. And then there's one way of salvation. No way to come to the Father but by me, Jesus said. And we count it strange. Here's the part that I want to tie together. is that we look at the Lord's sacrifice, that he gave us a new life. He's filled us with the Holy Spirit. He made us a new creation. He did it through his dedication, that he was sifted, that he went through the fire, that he went through the cross, that he rose again and is seated at the right hand of the Father, to bring this free will offering, this praise offering. Remember, this grain offering is not for sin. It's not for reconciliation. It's not to restore fellowship. We have fellowship through that sacrifice. And so we can stand there in our driveway and we say, man, Lord, that is amazing. You are so awesome. And through the Lord, we are in the presence of God. And we know that our prayers are a sweet-smelling aroma in the throne room. And isn't that what happens here? This offering is being made, and it's a sweet-smelling aroma before God. Incredible. There's three verses. You guys ready? Let's keep going. Verses 4 through 6. And if you bring as an offering a grain offering baked in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mixed with oil, or unleavened wafers anointed with oil. But if your offering is a grain offering baked in a pan, it shall be of the fine flour, unleavened, mixed with oil. You shall break it in pieces and pour oil on it. It is a grain offering. So we're going to see fine flour and oil cakes baked in an oven or baked in a pan. Later we're going to see a covered pan, an uncovered pan, or an oven. What are they talking about? Why are they giving these different things? You see, rich people have ovens. They're big. Poorer people, like the middle class of that time, may have a nice big pot with a covering on it. Now, those that don't have much at all will have just maybe a small plate. But the Lord is making opportunity that the rich, the middle class, the poorer class, can all make this free will offering. They can all bring glory to God. They can all come at whatever level they're at. And they can bring the best of what they have. But they also don't have to give more than they're able to. See, whatever's in that kitchen is going to be used for the glory of God. Whatever it is, whatever's at hand. Now, there's some debate among scholars about what the cakes are like. Are we talking tortillas here? Are we talking tostadas? You know, obviously there's nothing on top. Or are we talking chips? Are we talking torta bread? Obviously there's no yeast in it, right? So are we talking about gorditas? I mean, what are we talking here? There are some that said that it's donuts because it's fried in oil in an open pan. We don't know. What do we know? We know from the Old Testament that Aaron and his sons are the priests. Aaron is the high priest. He has a special getup. We know that his sons are priests. They have a different getup. And we know they are the only ones that can go into the tabernacle. They're the only ones that can perform the altar. Moses can go in there, but you're not going in there. You're not. Unless you are from that family, you're not going in there. We know that you're not going to get past the altar. You're not going to enjoy the table of showbread. You're not going to see the candlesticks. You're not going to go into the Holy of Holies. You're barely going to see the outer courts. Why am I telling you all this? All these things that are keeping you from being with God. And yet, our Lord is making provision that a little old lady in her kitchen can bring something to God, have fellowship with God. She goes into her pantry and she says, you know what, this is the best flour I've got. I've been saving for a long time. You know, flour is cheap to us in the modern world. We have huge combines that make hundreds and hundreds of hectares and liters of flour, and it's like the cheapest thing you can get. At this time, that is a huge deal. And not only is it expensive flour, it's the finest of flour. But she can reach in that pantry, and she can get the oil, and she can get the salt, and she can bake that thing in her oven, in her pan, in her frying pan. It doesn't matter. And it's just her and the Lord in that kitchen, making it up. Oh, man, I'm going to make something special. Her husband comes in. Ooh, what you making? This isn't for you. This is for God. I am making for God. Now, there's some ladies that are working in their kitchen. They're thinking, I'm not doing anything for God here. I'm not serving the Lord. I'm just washing clothes and cleaning up after my kids all day long. Not so. Husband comes home, just complains about what's not done. Complaining about his day. He doesn't know what kind of day I had. You see these kids around here? I know, we've had this conversation in my house once or twice. And you're thinking to yourself, what can I do for God? And here we have, in Leviticus chapter 2, provision, saying this matters to God. This matters to him. What you're doing is important. We're talking about the Creator. The Bible says that he's counted every hair on your head. We're talking about the Creator. He says in the womb, he knew you. We're talking about the Creator who every breath in your lungs is from him. Every code of your DNA has been transcribed by him. And you're telling me that what you're doing in your home is not important to him? Here he is. Imagine the scribe. He has to painstakingly, with that pen, every single letter of this book has to be transcribed perfectly. And here he is making provision for that lady to make a donut for God. What is important to us is not what's important to the Lord. He wants fellowship with you at every level. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about a personal relationship with the Lord. And we're finding it here in Leviticus chapter 2. Let's continue, and we'll go into a little bit more detail. Verses 7 through 10. If your offering is a grain offering baked in a covered pan, it shall be made of fine flour with oil. You shall bring the grain offering that is made of these things to the Lord. And when it is presented to the priest, he shall bring it to the altar. Then the priest shall take from the grain offering a memorial portion and burn it on the altar. It is an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. And what is left of the grain offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is most holy of the offerings to the Lord made by fire. So if you had an oven, if you had a covered pan, if you had a regular pan, what's in your kitchen? What do you have to give glory to God? Remember, this is a free will offering, this grain offering. This is just, I made you something, Lord. This is just, you're great. You're awesome. I want to give you something. And you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, well, I've got nothing to offer God. I'm not in ministry, or I'm not a missionary, or even worse, or even more real. Because right at Calvary Chapel Low Country, we want a real relationship with a real God. Right? I haven't been walking with you, Lord, for a long time. You don't want to hear from me. I've maybe been coming to church, but I've been gone a long time. I've been checked out. Or maybe I've been just doing it and I've just been going through the motions. He knows. He knows. Bring him whatever you have. And he will do the work. See, the greatest gift that God, the greatest ability that he has given any of us is availability. To be there. See, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So you can bring nothing because you don't have anything to bring. But what you do have is important to him. What you do have is important to him, and what you are doing every day is important to him. The Bible tells us that we are to do all things as unto the Lord. All things. Do you know in the original Greek language what the word all means? Means everything. All things. Not most things, not important things, not what you think is important. You're going out to the chicken coop to pick eggs? Do it to the glory of the Lord. You mopping the floor? You changing diapers? Are you getting yelled at by your manager at the fruit store again for the 15th time that day? You do it as unto the Lord. You're a servant. You're the Lord's servant. Martin Luther King Jr. said that if God has called you to be a janitor, you should sweep those floors as if you were sweeping them for the Lord himself. Are we doing these things as unto the Lord? Are you, the work of your hands every day, are you doing it and performing it as if it's going to be inspected by the priest? You see, when that cake is brought to the altar, whatever, out of the oven, out of the covered pan, out of the pan, whatever they brought, a piece of it was taken off and put on the altar, and then the rest went to the priests, and they were sustained off that. See, but we don't have any more priests, do we? No, we don't. I'm not a priest. I'm not your priest. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that we have one great high priest. Do you know who he is? Jesus Christ is our great high priest. And so when you bring your offerings of praise through prayer, through worship, through the works of your hands, he is the one inspecting it. He is the one inspecting it because there are no other priests. There are no other mediators. Are you living a life that can be inspected by the Lord? Are you living a life that he could eat a portion of it? Ouch. Of course not. And there's the thing. He still loves you. Our righteousness is filthy rags. Jesus told us, apart from him, what? We can do nothing. This is not, you're not shocking him. And yet he still wants what you have. Doesn't care if it's a pan, doesn't care if it's covered, doesn't care if you have an oven. Go to the previous chapter. Doesn't care if it's an ox, doesn't care if it's a goat, a sheep, or even a bird. He wants you. He wants relationship. He wants to restore what was lost in the Garden of Eden. Verses 11 through 13. No grain offering which you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven, for you shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering of the Lord made by fire. Verse 12. As for the offering of the first fruits, you shall offer them to the Lord, but they shall not be burned on the altar for a sweet aroma. Verse 13. And every through 13. No grain offering which you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven, for you shall burn no leaven nor any honey in any offering to the Lord made by fire. As for the offering of the first fruits, you shall offer them to the Lord, but they shall not be burned on the altar for a sweet aroma. Verse 13. And every offering of your grain offering you shall season with salt. You shall not allow the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt. All right, now I'm good. And this ties right into where we're at. So no honey, no yeast. No sin, no yeast. A little bit of yeast. What they would do is they didn't go down to, we used Publix last time. So they don't go down to Kroger and get little yeast packets and then bake with that. So what they would do is they would keep a portion of the dough. So you had cooked some dough over here. Before you baked it, you took a little pinch off. And that little bit of pinch you would put in your next batch, and then that would make your next one. And you would just keep doing that, and you would keep doing that. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, the Bible says. Well, the same thing is true of sin. It starts with a little bit. You take that little bit, and then you add it. And the next thing you know, it swells up, and it festers, and it grows. And you don't bring that to the Lord. And when the yeast is a breakdown, it's an organism in there that's eating stuff and it's making gas and it's growing and growing and growing. And the same thing, you know, in sin, we're being consumed from the inside out. And it puffs us up and it makes us think that we're better than we are. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But what about honey? What's the deal? You can't put, honey's hard to get. The bees have to make it. Do you think that God would love a honey? I get the yeast. I get that. But the honey. See, when you put honey in the baking goods, it breaks down in the heat. It has an artificial sweetener. So, no, not an artificial sweetener like in a factory. It's organic. No, but it sweetens your batch. But if you cook it, it goes away. So you think you have added something, but you haven't. It's fake. The Lord is not interested in our offerings, in our praises. If it's fake, see, the Lord is not interested in fake Christianity. You may be all polish. Man, look at all that honey, the yeast, it looks amazing. But it's empty inside. And when it goes through the fire, when it goes through trials, it melts away, it's gone. How many Christians do you know? Man, they're on fire for the Lord for a minute, but then when trials come, oh yeah, that was all hypocrisy, that was all lies. Melted away. If that's you, you're in great company. Peter, the disciples who disappeared. Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Peter? After the Lord's restoration, after his resurrection, then feed my sheep. You love me, Peter? Then feed my sheep. You can turn back to him. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that the Lord would rather you hot or cold, because if you're lukewarm, if you're artificial, he will vomit you out of his mouth. He's not interested in that. Again, we want a real relationship with a real God. And you can't have that if you walk in here and you fake being a Christian. I don't fake it. If I'm up here and the thing's not working, it's not working. I'm not going to have a three-piece suit if I'm not being real with you. I'm not going to be up here and tell you stories that aren't real. I'm not going to be up here and try and polish my speech. And so by flattery words, people come in here. That's what Paul said. It's just going to be who I am. Sometimes that's not good. Sometimes it is blessed by the Lord. It's seasoned with salt. We don't want any honey. We don't want it to be fake. But if that's who you are, then that's who God wants. He wants what's in your kitchen, right? He wants what is in your hands. He wants you, the real you. No fakery, no imitations, no add-ons. The real you with the real problems. Now, what is this grain offering? You worked all year long. You planted those seeds. You were out there weeding with your family. You were out there when it started to rain real hard, wondering if the crop was going to make it. All year long, all season long, you plowed, you planted, you watered, you stripped it, you tended it, you took care of it, you protected it. And now it was your first harvest, the first little bit, and the first thing you want to do is just throw those grains right in your mouth. Man, look at it, but no. All that labor and all that effort, you're going to bring your first fruit offering to God. And none of it's going to get burned on the altar. They're going to hold it back. But it's being dedicated to God, your first fruit. And what do they want? They want to add salt. Salt to it. Man, that sounds awesome. Remember a few years ago when salt was going to kill us, and now we're adding salt to everything again? I don't get it. But nevertheless, do you know that the Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 4, that grace and salt are synonymous? Grace. In Colossians chapter 4, it says, let your speech be seasoned with grace. And we're to be salt and light. The grace of God. Lord, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace of this first fruit, of this bounty, of this provision. A part of us wants to say, yeah, you know what, but it was all my hard work that brought this offering. It was all my tilling of the soil that brought this. No, 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 no. It is all from the Lord. The very breath that you speak to comes from him. Your muscles, your bones, your DNA, the dirt, the air, the water. In our society, the electricity that's being pumped into your building, the internet, the technology, the thought waves that even thought up those things, and the human beings that are involved in making all these things possible. God is the sustainer of life. It is life himself. And so we're going back to reality when we say, Lord, none of this exists without you. We're bringing it to you, the first fruit, the first yield of the season. We're going to put it right here, and we're going to dedicate it to you, and we're going to say thank you. A heart of thanksgiving. What kind of things are you giving to the Lord? Remember, we talked about let your speech be seasoned with grace in Colossians chapter 4. The Bible says the sacrifice of praise from your lips. In Romans chapter 12, it talks about being a living sacrifice to God. Yes, the Bible talks about material things, but he's not interested in the material things. He's not interested in your tithe without your heart. He's not interested in your hands without the praises of your lips. A real relationship with a real God. When you start to realize that nothing that you have is actually yours, it's all his, you kind of start to wonder, only 10%, Lord? You're so gracious. And I don't even have to give it to you? It's just you, only if I want to. Wow. Wow, Lord. Verses 14 through 16. If you offer a grain offering of your first fruits to the Lord, you shall offer for the grain offering of your first fruits green heads of grain roasted on the fire, grain beaten from full heads, and you shall put oil on it and lay frankincense on it. It is a grain offering. Then the priest shall burn the memorial portion, part of its beaten grain and a part of its oil with all the frankincense as an offering made by fire to the Lord. All right, so can you imagine how good this must smell? They have the full green heads of grain. They're putting frankincense, which smells amazing, and oil on it, and they're roasting it. They're not burning it. They're just roasting it a little bit. Oh my gosh, that must smell amazing. But if you jump ahead, 1,500 years, what did we just read in the book of Luke? Jesus and his disciples are walking through the harvest, and they're pulling the wheat. They're pulling the wheat and they're eating it. Wow. And the Lord knows that he's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He knows of all those thousands of years of first fruit offerings and grain offerings and animal, they're all speaking of him. And the Lord says it's better to obey than to sacrifice. Even then it was pointing, every single point to the Messiah. And the Pharisees dare come to him and talk to him. Oh, you can't do that on the Sabbath. And they're the disciples, they're eating the wheat. You can't do that. If only they knew to whom they were speaking. He told them, I am the Lord. He said, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. It drove them mad. They were so mad. If only they knew that he was the corn, he was the wheat that was going to be beaten for their sins. That he's the fulfillment of the very laws that they judged him with. That's when you're talking about a real relationship with a real Lord. And he doesn't say any of that, does he? He instructs them. He tells them the truth. That's a lot of weight talking about a little bit of wheat, isn't it? All we talked about tonight was a little bit of wheat, a couple of grains, and in a lady's kitchen. You guys that are upset online or whatever that it's gender specific, it can be a guy's kitchen, okay? I'm not judging. But if that's the case, and this magnificent, glorious, all perfect, all knowing, all present, all powerful God wants to have a relationship with you in the intimate details of your life, your cup of coffee in the morning, driving down the road with the music playing, making dinner, going to work, cashing your check. The Lord is interested in all those things. He's interested in you. What do you have to bring? Now, we're going to spend the rest of this evening in prayer, as we usually do on Wednesday nights, intercessory prayer, interceding for one another, praying for this country, those that are in authority, those that are in bonds, for those that are sick, and for the moving of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that you would be guiding and directing us this evening as we seek you in prayer. We pray that you would be leading us, filling us with your Spirit, giving us new gifts, encouraging us, leading us through prayer, and giving us that grace in Jesus' name. Amen.